Yesterday morning, Barb Jones, our senior deacon, and I drove down to Nashua to participate in a program that was sponsored by the New Hampshire Council of Churches. We met in a Baptist church, and we heard from the director of the council, who's an Episcopalian. There were people of various ages in the sanctuary, and there were lots of them. The place was full. This is a great manifestation of the body of Christ, of the church gathered. It's a wonderful image that I hope you'll hold. But the reason we were gathered wasn't so inspiring. We were there for a program about how to deal with an active shooter in a church. And this was a really informative program with great presenters, and we learned a lot of useful things, which we'll be talking about in short order. But one thing that weighed heavy on my heart throughout the morning and in the hours after was that if ever we needed a reminder that we live in a fallen world, this was it. Here we were, people from all across the state and even beyond had come together to learn about something that should be beyond imagination. This should not happen, we say to ourselves. But we know that people have gone and shot up churches and schools, baseball games, you name it. We're fallen people. And as if this wasn't enough, we have the news coming from California about the wildfires that are tearing through the southern part of the state. It is as if nature wanted to say, I don't just do hurricanes, I do fires, I can cause all sorts of destruction, and people are watching it on TV. And then we have the ongoing sexual harassment and abuse scandal in Congress, which just goes on to remind us that our leaders are as fallen as we are. It's all rather depressing. It's all rather sad. And into this mess wanders Mark with his gospel, where he tells us, I've got good news about Jesus Christ. It seems rather odd, but very welcome, doesn't it? He tells us he's got this good news, and he immediately wants to ground it in Scripture to show that the story he's going to tell is part and parcel of the history of Israel. But then he does something strange. He doesn't tell us about Jesus. He proceeds to tell us about John. John, this guy wearing skins and eating locusts and honey. Sounds kind of sketchy, a little bit dodgy. Who is this guy? We don't know much about John. We only have a few verses about him in the gospel. We will return to him next week when we hear about him in the gospel of John, but again, there will be just a few verses. But we know this. What John had to say was compelling. It grabbed people's attention. And we don't need to take the gospel's word for that. I seriously doubt all the people of Jerusalem went out to be baptized in the River Jordan. But I bet there were a lot. Now, the reason we talk about John today is because his message has resonated throughout the ages. Here's this guy from 2 millennia ago, and you and I know who he is. And more importantly, we know what he said. That's pretty remarkable. And that's the good news that we are celebrating during this season of Advent. Now, what about Jesus? Who is Jesus? I can ask the same question. Who is this guy? And I suspect all of you will have your own answers. And it'll be shaped by your own experience and your own faith or your quest for faith. It will be shaped by your desire to have a friend or a comforter or a savior or even a judge. Last week, we talked about the little apocalypse. And when I was in my clergy group this week, we were talking about the season of Advent. And I said I liked last week's passage. And one of my colleagues was clear that he did not like it. But I think the idea of a judge who is totally straight, a buckboard, isn't playing favorites, can't be corrupted, is a sign of hope. And that's the kind of God we come here to worship today. Sometimes we might need to see things a little bit differently and change our perspectives to be able to see that God. But that's what the season of Advent is all about. We take the time off before the holiday to clear the decks, to slow down, to pray, to reflect, and hopefully to receive the Holy Spirit. It's rather odd that in 2 weeks' time we're going to celebrate the birth of baby Jesus as if it's something that's happening right then. Jesus isn't coming. He already came. 2,000 years ago, most likely in March, the baby Jesus was born. He taught, he prayed, he healed, he did all that stuff. He went to the cross and he was resurrected. I'm not saying he won't come again, but baby Jesus being born is history. And that's good news for you and me, because the baptism of the Spirit that John spoke of is ours. We are introduced into that, all of us, together. Now, we might need to step back to see that, but it's true. One of the things that we heard yesterday in our session was that people often follow learned behaviors. To be frank, they said, people are sheep, and we will follow the first person who does something. And that leads to problems when you've got a situation with a shooter in a church, because we start to think of ourselves, or at least to act as victims. If we step back and look at our behaviors and the things we do, we can actually take steps that will protect us. And they don't involve carrying guns and shooting up the sanctuary. But it requires that conscious decision to say, I'm going to see things in a different light. And I'm going to envision the possibilities that I may not have seen before. This past week, Pope Francis created some more news. You may have heard that he wants to come up with a new translation for the Lord's Prayer. Now, when the news was first carried on the headlines, of course, somebody was in a rush and they got a little bit wrong, and they said that Pope Francis wanted to change the Lord's Prayer. Now, there's a difference between changing the Lord's Prayer and coming up with a new translation. The phrase that had caught his attention is, lead us not into temptation. And Francis has meditated on that, and that doesn't make sense with his understanding of God. He doesn't see God leading us into bad things, into temptation. And he thought a better translation would be, keep us from temptation. It's Satan who leads us into temptation. It's the world that leads us into temptation. It's our own failings that bring us there. And God will protect us from that. Now, not surprising, given this age of the internet and Facebook and Twitter, there was all sorts of discussion on the internet. And some people said, this is right on. And others said, this is heresy. And others said, this makes a lot of sense in terms of the translation. And others said, it is the tradition of the church to say these words. But Francis had opened up a new way of seeing things. And it seems especially appropriate that his teachings about the Lord's Prayer were handed down during the season of Advent. My hope is that during this season, we will each be attuned to the Holy Spirit, and we will be led to see things with our eyes wide open and our ears ready to hear. It's not always easy to get a new perspective on things, and I'm not saying that the old way of saying and understanding things aren't good. But God has created an amazing world for us, and it's filled with possibilities. And it's filled with good news, the good news we receive in Jesus Christ. So hear the words of Mark. Hear the words. I bring you good news. Imagine that. Imagine those words written down 2,000 years ago. And people are still sharing that news. You are sharing that news. That's pretty amazing. We ask the question of John, who is this man? But people are going to ask that question about you and me. And one of the things that we can give an answer is that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that we are going to share his message of love and grace and redemption.